Hello, this is the March 21st meeting of the Pacifica National Board Elections Committee, special meeting, and we are ready to begin. I'm Carolyn Burden, the chair, and Mary Berg, secretary. Would you like to call the roll, Mary?
Yeah. Mary Berg, here. Carolyn Burden, you're here. Terry Goodman, you're on the committee, right?
Yes, Terry Goodman, KPFK, Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Mary, may I interrupt you?
Somebody
has a lot of background noise there. Is that Melinda's office or Ted?
No. Somebody moving with their phone.
Someone's outside. I hear the street signal.
All right. That's the best we can do. Let's go ahead.
Patty Heffers.
Great.
Melinda.
Present.
Did Patty, when I called Patty Heffley, did someone, what happened? Patty?
No, she didn't answer.
She didn't, something said something. Okay, Richard.
I'm here.
Yeah. Serena Shakir. You're here? Serena? I think I hear Serena saying yes.
I don't hear anyone saying yes. Is anyone responding?
I hear background noise. I didn't hear any distinct yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'll come back to her. Wendy Sherrill?
Wendy is not on the committee anymore.
Oh, she's not on the committee? She's
no.
Oh,
no.
I didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Harrison replaced her, right.
Okay,
Harrison.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right. When I have this list, I thought I'd fixed the list. Never mind.
Yeah, I just sent out a new tally, by the way. You might want to download that.
Ted, is he on yet? Is Ted on yet?
I hear him in the background.
I hear him in the background.
All right, LaVon, you're here.
Here.
Mm-hmm. Carol, you're here. You're here, Carol?
Yes.
And Harrison?
I'm here.
Dan, Don White?
Here. Sorry.
And Deb, here.
Yeah.
Now, okay, let's see. Let's try Ted Weisskopf. Is he still talking?
Ted is in the background here, but he's not on the call yet.
No, he's in the background in a meeting.
Oh.
No, he's not there, but Deb Shafto is listening in, and she is our person.
No, I know, but I mean, I don't, he's not, is he coming or not coming? We don't
know. Yeah, he's going to go over his office.
I offered him a number, and he didn't take it.
So we have Patty Heffley, Serene Roberts, and Serena Shakir then.
Jane Gaywood wrote that
she would be late.
Yes,
she wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. She works till 7 unless she gets off early.
Mm-hmm. And Ted doesn't count for quorum unless he calls.
Sounds good.
That's so true.
That's
even if you can hear him in the background, he says he's going to call from somewhere in the station.
Well, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 7. It doesn't come out to more than 7, no matter how I count them.
Boy, I counted more than 8.
Well, yes, but you can't count. You can't count.
Mary,
Jack,
John,
and
Terry, Carol, myself, Carolyn, Richard Phelps, Deb Shafto, LaVon Williams. That's
I didn't hear Harrison being asked in the roll call.
Yeah, he's
I
been
did.
Asked, and he's been
okay.
checked off. He's here.
Okay.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Oh, wait a minute. Hey,
that's
wait.
Eight.
We got him. One,
we have
two,
10.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
5.
That's right.
Well,
what's
so
the mute on this call?
Melinda, is it...
we got
him. One.
I'm sorry, what is it?
What's the mute
pound
on this
one.
Call?
I think
pound
it's
one?
Pound 1-1. One.
No,
pound 1-1?
Pound,
one?
Pound pound 1, which is...
Pound 1.
Okay.
How do you get back in?
Same thing.
Toggle.
Okay.
Mayor, Melinda, could you do us a favor? Melinda, are you on the call?
God, she was. She just muted, I bet.
I guess so. I just wanted to ask her to ask Ted to mute,
okay,
but I guess whoever just muted, that was the background noise. Thank you. That was fine. All right, I guess we're ready to go.
That's Melinda. I'm right here.
Okay, that was the background noise we heard. That sounds much better. Thank you. Whoever was muted. Well, we don't have any minutes, and our next regular meeting we had already set for April 19th, so we need to, I guess, approve the agenda.
Well, yeah, I had sent a note about the agenda, and the only thing that I think should be on the agenda, it was the thing, when the notice went out for this special meeting, it was said that the only item that would be on it was the ESC, this proposal. I didn't think that anything else should be on it.
Well, your point is well taken,
It was not noticed. What was noticed is that it would be one thing, and that was it. So.
All right, I stand corrected on that. Then we, if we cannot amend that now, then I will take that. Does anyone else have any?
I would be very opposed to amending it now. This
Terry.
Is not.
Terry.
I believe that we can use the call to solicit corrections and amendments to the chair's report to the PMB without actually doing business.
I'm sorry, that was the other thing, because it's very time-sensitive. We have to have that. We have to have the approval. That was the other thing I suggested to have on.
Yeah,
we have to do that. That should be brief, though.
Is that all right with everyone?
Mm-hmm. No problem here.
All right, that's fine. And so the agenda then will be those two items only. And everything else will go back to...
where it should
back to old business for the next meeting, which is April 16th. All right, you're
I thought I just heard April 19th for the next meeting.
No, 16th.
Okay.
Sunday the 16th.
Thank you.
We are open then for discussion on the proposals. If someone would like to make a motion to approve a proposal, and then we can begin discussion on it.
Well, I first move to approve the agenda.
Yeah, I second.
All right, any opposed to that? All right, the agenda then stands. I'm sorry, I thought we had done that as so these two items.
Actually didn't.
Or one and a half, actually. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then
nothing
the
is a half on an agenda.
The only item then, or the major item now then, is these two proposals. Are we entertaining a motion first and then some discussion, or do we want to discuss it and then move to a motion, as you like? I would suggest
This is Richard. I'll move to recommend to the PNB and or National Election Supervisor, whoever gets to make the final decision, that we hire ESC.
That we hire ESC. All right. All right. Any further discussion on that?
Terry?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Hello.
I hear someone background noise.
Probably Laverne, because her phone hums.
Okay.
Very good.
Terry on stack.
Terry first. All right. Anyone else to speak? All right, go ahead, Terry.
My main problem with the ESC proposal is their use of proprietary software. The only proprietary software used by the competitor that we're considering is in their scanning, not in their tabulation.
May I interrupt? We may really not discuss the other proposal's contents at all.
Huh?
The fact that we have, we cannot discuss... The other proposal.
Oh, right, because that has,
at all,
they've
the content of the
that
proposal.
Has to be
mm-hmm.
confidential.
They want
like
confidentiality. So let us just try and discuss this if we can without referring to the contents of the other proposal and just talk about it.
Can I get some clarification
services.
On this? That's Harrison.
Yes, Harrison.
Perhaps this has to do with meetings that I didn't attend. Yes. Can you explain to me what the situation is?
Yes. True Ballot has asked for confidentiality on the contents of their proposal. Election Services did not, and so we are bound by that. We may not discuss the contents of the True Ballot proposal. The only thing we have permission to discuss is the fact that we have a proposal. So that is where the discussion will go. Okay. Terry? And Richard, are you on the stack? Did I hear
yes.
you? Yes. Okay. Terry, go ahead.
Before Terry, Art Stasny has a quick suggestion. Are we permitted?
I'm sorry, Art. Excuse me, but Terry really was in the middle of speaking. Can you?
It'll be really helpful to him.
All right. Point of
can we discuss
mm-hmm.
the previous elections?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that we can certainly discuss. We can compare this with the previous election.
Right.
Certainly. Yes.
Good.
Thank you. Good point. Terry?
I'll rephrase my comment.
Thank you.
Then, and just say the advantage that we discovered in the previous election was that the vendor we used was able to provide data files that allowed for confirmation of their results and retabulation by various members of the foundation.
And you're saying that that was an advantage from the previous election?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The competing vendor, I believe, has offered to make equivalent information available.
Yes. Art?
You
made your point. Okay. Richard?
Yeah, two things that I want to mention in regard to this. One, as part of one of my assignments, I checked with references for ESC yesterday and today. One was some organization of human resource management people back in Virginia, and the other was the Sierra Club. And both are using them and plan to continue to use them, and thought very highly of ESC and said that they were very cooperative in their dealings with them whenever they wanted to make a change or do something different. So.
Okay, that's helpful.
That was something good. And I guess we've gone over this a bunch of other times, and sort of in line with what Art raised, that the last election, I had a lot of problems with the way things were handled, and I won't repeat all those unless we feel it's necessary, but, that's one of the reasons why I'm inclined to go with ESC.
Mm-hmm.
Jack, I'd like to be on the stick.
Mm-hmm. And I'm Jack, and then I'm going to ask LaVarne to speak, too, because I believe she was also looking into some background information. Jack?
I think I feel confident, based on what ESC has communicated, that they can provide a level of transparency equivalent to what we're accustomed to. I don't have any concerns, based on their proposal, that we will have less transparency, which was my big concern going into this, given that they have proprietary software.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, the algorithm that does the tally is no secret. This isn't like Adobe Illustrator or something. So that algorithm is everybody's property. Mm-hmm. And as long as you have the ballot data, you can verify their election, as long as you know the rules they were following. So I don't really understand the point that Terry's making. Maybe he could explain.
Mm-hmm. LaVarne, are you on the call?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that you were looking into some of the references also.
Richard had done the two, and they were both positive, and if there had been a slight difference, we would have gone ahead with the third one, but Richard had done the two, so we, went ahead with that. But I think also, in addition, that there have been a lot of meetings with ESC in terms of the point that I think, was it Ted had just made, and it was based on the newest meetings that I set in basically and listened, because you guys are really talking all the technical aspects of STV and what ESC can do, and I think that
can you actually speak directly into the mouthpiece? It's difficult to hear.
Oh, is this place? Hi, Serene. When did you come on?
A while ago.
Oh.
What's my name?
I think that that's what I'm doing. Maybe it's just fine. You know, I have my voice is a little, I have a cough, but that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm not even on the speakerphone, but hello, Serene.
I can hear you fine. Go ahead.
Thank you. I was trying trying not to strain my voice too much, since I'm sure I'll need it this weekend. But, again, I think that the point was that there have been a number of meetings and talking about the technical aspects of ESC and what And I think that is just an addition. It's been a good demonstration of the attempt to meet all the needs and address all the issues, mm-hmm. and to dedicate the time up front. So basically, it was a good point in terms of what to expect,
mm-hmm.
in the future. But thank you, Carolyn.
Mm-hmm. All right, that's very helpful. Anyone else on the staff?
Mary Berg, for completeness. I didn't reach any of the other two people, but I did reach the Sierra Club as well as Richard. And I, too, I talked to them a while and asked some questions and they've been using them for several years now, and they're quite satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a problem, of course. You know.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to hear Terry's answer to Jack's question, because I was wondering about that too, because I understood that it was an algorithm that anybody could, I mean, as long as they have an algorithm that you know about, then it's not proprietary as far as, I mean, you can do the same thing.
I'm assuming we're talking about the algorithm that was used in last year's election.
No, I'm talking about the algorithm ESC uses.
ESC uses, I see.
And
uh-huh.
Terry started by saying he was right. concerned that they had proprietary software.
Mm-hmm.
But since Jack asked the question, and I'm just dittoing Jack's
mm-hmm.
question, and
mm-hmm.
I'm blathering too long about it.
Mm-hmm.
Jack,
so, Terry?
To clarify, if I may, I'm talking about the rules of the tally. Is the algorithm, is the rules of the tally, which are
mm-hmm.
in our bylaws, but might need to be specified, you know, with a little more detail with any company.
Mm-hmm.
But what's Terry's objection in that?
Okay, Terry on staff.
Terry, go ahead.
I think Jack did a very competent refutation of whatever point I was making.
Mm-hmm. Mary, you're still not clear on that, or?
Well, it was actually Jack's question.
Mm-hmm. All right.
he's the one that said he didn't understand Terry's objection, and I just, as I mm-hmm. said, I had the same feeling. But is Jack satisfied?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
I don't understand Terry's objection that it's proprietary. In what sense does that create a problem? I guess?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Jack, would you like to speak to that?
That's my question.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was Jack speaking. I thought it was Don.
Okay, I'll speak some more. proprietary software is like a black box in which stuff goes on. And open software in which anyone can actually look at the code and see what's going on has the advantage of transparency and investigatory capability if anything goes wrong. However, with the ballot data in a format available for anyone to confirm election results, the primary advantage is shared by both vendors. So while I have a preference for open source software and tabulation of ballot data, I will admit at Jack's point that there is the necessary level of transparency in both proposals.
Don White.
All right, that's good to hear. I'm relying heavily on the tech people here.
Carolyn, this is Art. Can I make a clarification?
Yes, please, Art.
Neither of the proposers have what is called open source software. ESC uses a proprietary software package, and basically we're not supposed to talk about the other one, but except
we can compare it to last year's, actually.
In last year's election, the software is not open source. What you can download is the program to run it, but you can't see the code. There is a very early non-functioning version of the code posted simply as a matter of information. I don't know whether that's sufficient to find out what's going on or not. But the term open source has a very special meaning. Neither last year's nor this year's proposals have any relation to open source software. There also needs to be an understanding about the difference between the principle on which the elections are run and the software that implements it. The principles are well known and I think well understood to everybody involved. That's not an issue. The only issue might be details of the software implementation, and it isn't clear whether those are a problem at all. But it's important to keep in mind the difference between the rules, as Jack stated, the rules of STV and so on, and the way someone, some programmer, implements them in his particular coding language.
Sure.
End of clarification.
All right. Thank you very much. Well, are there any more questions or discussions about this proposal?
Yes, this is Harrison. I'd like to speak for a moment.
Yes, Harrison. Also, I'm going to take this opportunity to ask whoever is doing dishes in the background, if you could mute yourself, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Yes, go ahead, Harrison.
Well, there's a couple of concerns that I have. First of all, the proposal isn't clear about would we be voting for a 3-year contract?
No.
No?
No, we are not. Mm-hmm. We're offered it, but we're voting to recommend the proposal. And
a 3-year proposal?
No, it's not a 3-year proposal. We're voting to recommend the proposal to the PNB and the ED for consideration, for adoption.
But I'm a little vague on whether they talk about for 10 separate ballots, and I'm a little concerned about all the money that we're supposed to put up front. There's something about a reconsideration on September 30th, an opt-out provision.
Yeah.
Ted White's
that
wrong.
Seems to me to be a totally wrong date for an opt-out option, because at that date we won't have any idea how things are going. I mean, if we're stuck for 2 or 3 elections, it doesn't seem that at September 30th we'll know how the first election came out, whether it was done well or not.
Well, may I speak to that? Does anyone else want to speak to that on the stack?
I want to
just
speak,
let me
not to that
my
issue. So, Carolyn,
but
go
I'm,
ahead.
I'm not exactly giving up the floor quite yet.
I thought that was your question. Do you have other questions?
Maybe we should just so I can get back. I can return to the floor perhaps later.
Well, why don't we list all your questions and maybe people can be thinking about them while we take them up one by one.
I haven't studied this really carefully like I ought to have, but it seems to me that we're going to spend more money on this contract than we did last year. And I'm a little vague about, you know, some of these things seem pretty expensive, like programming is, I don't know, what was it, $1,000 a day or something for technical consulting or something?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically I'm at a loss to, you know, how to deal with this decision since we can't discuss the alternative. But I guess that, you know, that's sort of a surprise. I wonder if we ought to have accepted a proposal where we couldn't discuss it. I mean, do we need to have an executive session or something? I don't know.
Oh, well, we did have one, actually. We have discussed this at some length, and unfortunately it was not web-streamed, and you were not on the committee at that point, but I think that's one of the things that maybe we could have discussed privately. before this point. All right, are there any other issues that we should...
Okay, so I have a problem with the opt-out date.
Yeah, okay.
I've got a problem with all of the money up front, and I have questions about the total cost. That it's hard for me to estimate how much it is going to cost, and at some places it seems like it's more expensive than it would have been last year.
Anyone else on want to speak on
and
this?
It seems like the people that the ECS don't understand about our staggered on-off election business. Are they aware of how our election process works, that, you know, every third year is not an election year?
That's a good... I think they are, but I don't know.
Well, there's a point at which it seems to be that they say a three-year contract would include three elections or something. But anyway, okay, I guess I guess I'm through talking for now.
Okay, who else would like to be on the stack?
Mary Berg.
Mary,
LaVarne.
Okay.
And Richard.
Okay, Mary, do you want to go first?
Well, I think your point is well taken about the September 30th. I mean, we're not going to know about the election result. The situation with the people who did this last year, with the procedure that went on last year, those of us that were close to it would no way ever go through that again. And, you know, some of us could talk to you in case you were maybe not up to speed about some of those things. But
I was pretty involved.
It's a huge, I mean, it could be a small book of things that were egregiously faulty. And I don't want to spend any time going into them whatsoever now because it's been hashed and hashed and it's on the archives. But so that's something you should probably keep in mind. And we only found two people that did this sort of work that were even in the ballpark. I would prefer to pay a little bit less up front, but I think the opt-out date concerned me too a little bit, and there are a few other things in here that are very minor, but I don't know what they're going to involve. One very minor one is that they're going to leave all the ballots in the post office. Well, they're going to have the post office anywhere near the station, at least around here. They're not going to do that because none of the post offices here are going to begin to store all that. So they will have to go to some distance, and I don't know what... But those are small. You know, those are sort of picayune things, but I'm not sure what the role... I'm not sure yet what the role of the people, you know, of us, who did all the work for the previous years, is going to be in this. And I don't know if there's any wiggle room there so that we could keep costs down in any way at all. There's, you know, some of these additional things. I'm not still clear. I really thought very, you know, tremendously about Steve. What is his last name anyway? The man, you know, the chief honcho. But in my dealings with Jeff LaRue, I'm not convinced that he understands anything about what we're doing, and I don't know how we can get him to understand it. He's used to commercial and different kinds of things, and he's fairly new to this. I still have concerns about that. But that wouldn't deter me from going along to recommend them, because I don't think we have an alternative that's viable.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, it seemed to me...
Mary, excuse me. Harrison, I don't want to... Let's go in turn because we have some people on the stack and we can address your questions and then maybe we can come back to whatever has been addressed.
Me.
I think
But
LaVarne,
you'll put me at the bottom of the stack then.
Fine. LaVarne.
Okay, thank you. I think on the contract in terms of the 3 years, I think that they are aware of the election cycle. They know that we will go into another election I think the following year, right, 2007?
This time, yes.
You're right. So, and the opt-out, I think that we can look at that probably and determine that we would need to have some experience on in terms of into the election before we would want to be required to opt out, or even in terms of, you know, because we would, this is like a single election contract. That's what we would do this time. So I think the opt out was attempting to give us some opportunity to observe and to experience their work and to be satisfied at that point, and then go into a commitment for, you know, we would know for certain for 2 years, but not until we can, as a whole and with the election supervisor, be able to really make that decision. So you would have to have the supervisors and the local election supervisors to work with them in order to get their input on this. So, you know, there are more parties involved than just the election committee to make that recommendation to the PNB. So I support the ESC, and you know, there are based on the last election, I certainly would have concerns about going through that experience again. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
Yeah, I have some concerns raised, although I think that the way to handle this, of course, we have to keep in mind, our recommendation is not sealing the deal. And the election, National Election Supervisor who gets chosen will be able to, or somebody from the PNB, you know, Greg Guma, will be able to do the final negotiations on this. So any of those little, you know, blemishes that we think need to maybe be looked at, like the September 30th date, I think that's one that should go, you know, to December, so that after the first election, then we can decide if we want to opt out of the rest of the contract after we've seen, you know, what they've done. So I think that, you know, that's something we need to keep in mind. We're not signing a contract today. We're just making a recommendation, and we can make a recommendation with suggestions to go with it about certain things that might be looked at by them.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then I think I myself on the staff. The point about the 10 ballots, Harrison, that is because there's a staff and a listener election at each station. That's where the number 10 came from. And the money up front, I agree with Richard that those are the things that I believe can be negotiated. This is one of the reasons that we pressed for a national election supervisor now rather than wait until May. So that, and that advertisement is out. So when that person comes on board, he and, or she and the executive director will be negotiating this. As Richard says, we're just recommending it. So I'm in favor of recommending this, even with these questions that we all have about the total cost. I think that the question of the money probably is the one that will be negotiated the hardest at the other side. But at this point, I'm in favor of the proposal. Okay, and Harrison, you said you wanted to be last?
And Don White on the stack, please.
And Don, all right.
So I guess I'm going to suggest that we make the recommendation, we do make the recommendation, that we make it with some caveats. One, that the negotiation around the price be vigorous, that the opt-out date, if we do contract for multiple election cycles, be moved to a later date. I'm just a little nervous on the payment schedule as well. It still bothers me that it looks to me like it may be as much as $180,000 up front.
Holy cow.
Now, how did you come to that?
No.
Well, it's 40% on signing, right? $40,000 on
Let's
signing.
See here. Maybe
is that not
wrong.
Right?
My
you may be right.
Here.
Let's see.
What page are you looking at, Harrison?
Page 10.
This is the addition to the pricing page, number 10.
$40,000 will be invoiced, up front.
Well, that's immediately on signing.
Right.
And then before they mail, there's another $60,000
right.
plus postage.
You're right.
Now, the postage, I'm estimating that's very sizable. Mm-hmm. Is it as much as $60,000?
Maybe not that much, but
that's in here. That's actually in the proposal. It shows
mm-hmm.
the
estimate. That's the estimate on page 10, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what does that add to? $160,000?
Whoa.
Well, no, you've got 100 right there, and the postage, I don't think it's going to be 60. Well, Lauren, you said the postage was, oh.
It's in the proposal.
What can you say? What page? Can you say?
Yes,
it is 60.
It's 60 plus postage.
No.
30 days
on the bottom of
mailing.
Page 10, outgoing domestic first class postage estimate is $60,000, so Harrison's right.
Mm-hmm.
But the... speak in the proposal about finding the lowest possible first-class rate. And I know that there are various rates depending on some very Byzantine things that I don't know about. Mm-hmm. But
what percentage are we paying?
What percentage?
Well, I mean, in other words, are we doing 50% up front and then 50% at the end of the election?
No.
Just a point that we'd said that in terms of negotiating the contract and the payments, in negotiation, we could basically negotiate a monthly. I mean, you would negotiate the percentage up front, because that's based a lot in terms of the work on the development of the programming. But the rest, you would definitely negotiate a monthly over the period of the election and past. So that's like Carolyn and Richard have both said that, you know, this is the proposal, but in terms of negotiating, because the advantage with ESC and, you know, they have done the presentations, done the work, so they are really interested in getting this contract with Pacifica because of Pacifica's position in terms of this whole media democracy. So it's very important to them. But they've done, you know, other, as we said, when the references we have done other elections, but I think this is important to them too, and that in the negotiation with Guma and the election supervisor, whatever he or whoever decides, then that's the way you would do that. So
thank you, Lavon, for the clarification. I think Don was next.
Well, a lot of my comments have already been made. I mean, I here in the KPFK signal area, we've relied on a very highly skilled, high-tech group. So the issues of being able to monitor very clearly the process and the results so that we're in control of a final approval of the results, I'm convinced that this proposal will allow us to do that. People like Art and Jack and others have my full confidence there. I'm kind of interested in how this $100,000 plus postage compares with the expense of the last election. Does anyone have that information?
We have spreadsheets. I haven't sat down to do a column-by-column comparison, I must say. It's difficult because there are so many other expenses involved. And, of course, the numbers will change.
Yeah. It seems to me that the issue here of this expense is the personnel that this company will put into the project. And when you have $1,000 a day consulting fee, that's not one person. That's, as I understand it, that will be a consulting fee that will, you know, cover several people who are part of the project. I recall when the election occurred in Los Angeles, there were several members of the company who were here to monitor the process. So I, as much as I hate to say it, a 10-ballot, you know, process in 5 signal areas, probably $100,000 is going to have to be paid for that.
Mm-hmm. May I speak to that? Is anyone else?
Yeah, and then I'd like
to
be on the stack after that.
This is Ted. I have just joined the call, and I would like to speak as well. And sorry,
I
want to
be on the stack too.
Melinda.
Melinda.
Okay. I'm sorry. Let me, Mary, Ted, Melinda. Did I miss anyone?
Yes.
All right. And I did want to
respond
to Don. I think the question came up of personnel, and we talked about reducing the number of people. Last year, I think there were 3 people in attendance at each station, and we talked about reducing that to 2. We didn't get any hard and fast promises on that, but
hello.
One of the things that impressed me about Election Services was that they were more than willing to work with us when we stressed that we wanted to train volunteers and use volunteers as much as possible to a great extent, and they were in agreement with that, which I was pleasantly surprised at their attitude towards that. So I'm looking forward to a reduction in the personnel, frankly, if we can have local supervisors working with the company to work with volunteers. I think we can achieve some reduction there. Okay, Mary, I think you were next.
Yeah, the cost last year had so many bailout expenses that increased it so much that it takes to figure that out is not so simple. But what I see here, I think that Melinda's questions were good and Harrison's too. I don't really know what the total amount is, what the percentage is, because what is the balance? I don't actually see it. But what I do see by this, the setup they have here, they really do want to maintain long-term relationships because this is priced totally that way. And we get quite a bit of breaks and probably even more the longer we use them. And that means they're going to make sure to keep us satisfied because they're quite aware of, I don't know what Jeff knows, but I know that the company, you know, Steve knows quite very well of what all the problems were and all the cuttings of the corners and all the things that happened. So they're going to, if they're taking us on at all, they know we're once burnt, twice shy, and we're going to be, you know, we're going to be really on it. So this makes me feel good about them. And I don't know what we can do about the price. I don't know of any alternative that will work that won't end up costing maybe even more, even if it doesn't cost as much up front. But if you have to pay all the money on the back end to clean up the mess that you paid for the cheap thing in the first place, then your total cost, which no one ever notices, really goes up. I mean, in the business that I'm in, we were often hired to go fix exactly that. They hire the cheapest person, and it isn't any good. This was audio stuff. You can't fix elections so well. And the total cost over several, a couple of years or 3, was way more than if they had taken a higher bid in the first place. But they, you know, just to look good, they took the lowest figure, and they got what they paid for. So while I do think Harrison's concerns are really right, and I certainly feel that way about the opt-out date, but, and there's some things we, as everybody said, we can negotiate. I think we should look at what it means, what they're offering us here. They really, really want to keep us satisfied, and that should mean they're not going to do that unless they run a really tight ship and have a really good, clean election. And they know it.
Thank you, Mary. Ted, if you were next.
Hi, thanks. Having looked over the reports of our 2 previous election supervisors, and my feeling is that many of the things that have not gone well have not gone well because of our inexperience as an organization with this process, and it is not the fault of the companies that have come in and assisted us with our elections. I don't feel very good about the idea that what we're doing tonight is I guess preparing to make a recommendation to the national board. I'm hearing, and I didn't hear this directly, but I heard it before I left the station and the meeting I was at a few minutes ago, but there's a difference in price of $50,000. Is that correct? Between one of these companies and another? I guess I'm asking that question of the chair.
I'm not sure that that is correct because we're comparing apples and oranges. It's very difficult to compare the prices with a flat figure because the items are so different.
I'm comparing the bottom line. I understand,
well,
but
I'm saying it's not possible to compare flat out, so I can't say. You may be right, bottom line, if that's all you're looking at is the dollar, but in terms of what that means, I can't say that.
Right.
Okay, and let me just say one more thing, and then I'll go back to listening and catch myself up, and that is that I run a mail order business, although a good high percentage of what I do is now over the phone with credit cards. But when we first started 26 years ago, virtually everything we did was people mailing into our P.O. box. And I heard a statement a little while ago about the fact that the post office won't hold the ballots. That doesn't strike me as being correct. I mean, what are they going to do with them? If you're on vacation, if you take a 3-month vacation and you get an extraordinary amount of mail, they put it in a bag and they save it for you, unless there's some anomaly between Houston and another section of the country. The other option is, if that is a problem, you can always go to a private P.O. box and set it up in that manner. You can't always get a P.O. box when you want it, at the size you want it, because they're not available at the post office that you want it at. But my understanding is they hold on to the stuff.
Well, we're veering off topic here.
Yeah, this is pretty.
Yes, Melinda, I think you were next.
Yes. My main concern in reference to, first of all, let me address the thing of the apples and orange thing. I think it's very important that we don't just look at dollars, because the thing is that I can tell you from working in a service industry of HR that what you get for a dollar with one company, they may pay the minimum wage and you get nothing, whereas you have a licensed representative who knows laws, and you can save yourself a lot. So, I mean, there's ways that, you know, that I don't think this is just it. And I think that we need to consider the total picture.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, I also am very concerned, and that's why I just wanted to elaborate on what I was talking about. It's been my observation that if you owe somebody some money, that if you pay them up front too much, they're not as motivated to really try to perform.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one reason why, because I would want to be sure that they, and I also concur with this idea of us waiting until after the election to really, you know, say, okay, well, you know, to have the bailout, because after all, what if they totally botch the whole thing? We get a whole bunch of people that don't get ballots, and there's a bunch of issues that we have no way of knowing at this time. I'd like for us to have the option of being able to bail out in the event that we had a horrifically horrible election.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically all I had to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. I just wanted to make one minor point. You talked, I think Stephen Walker was the name, Mary, that you were looking about the first representative. And then we've been dealing with Jeff LaRue, and although Jeff came on after the project was underway, I'm not unhappy with the way he's dealt with some of his inexperience in it. He was very quick to call on expertise, and I was pleased with that. I just wanted to clarify that.
He did
go look for answers that he didn't have the answers to. He was good about that. Okay, anybody else on the stack on this question?
Just one last comment, perhaps?
This is
Harrison.
Harrison, go ahead. Mm-hmm.
One thing that I haven't mentioned that does concern me is that STV is sort of a new thing, and I don't think that ESC has done it before, and it sounds like we're going to pay for a lot of programming up front. And it seems to me like what we're doing is we're paying for them to develop some more proprietary software that has the potential to be very important down the road, because hopefully a lot more organizations are going to realize that STV is the right way to go. And I don't think we should be paying for that development when that's the real reason they want this contract. I don't think, you know, I think that should be be something that we can use in negotiation rather than them. It seems like we're paying a lot of, we may be paying and providing them with an opportunity to develop something, and we may pay in the fact that they don't have enough time to develop the software that's going to actually do the tallying and the, I don't know what all else is involved.
A question from Don White.
Don, yes, Don.
Well, this is an interesting point that Harrison's bringing up, and I'm just wondering if anyone is aware, is this the first voting process of this type that they're dealing with, and are they starting from scratch, or do they have some track record using STV?
Mary Berg on the staff.
Mary?
I got the impression from the Sierra Club that they used that, but I could have been wrong. Now, Richard, I think you're the person who talked to them as well. Did you?
Yeah, they don't. Sierra Club doesn't engage them in that discussion. Tried to talk them into it.
I thought there might have been a misunderstanding there. Yeah. Did anybody else ask that? I didn't get the impression it was the first time they've done it, but Harrison might be right.
This is Carolyn. May I?
Yeah.
I don't believe it is. When we asked for companies that could and would and had done this, Terry Burgess recommended this company as one of only two or three that could do it.
This is Lauren.
Yes,
Lauren. Yeah, I believe in our discussions when we met at the station. I think that they have their history in terms of doing STV, that they have some of the initial software on STV voting when we were there at the studios and talking.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
In terms of this is not their first, and they're one of the, I guess, one of the original people to develop this type of software for STV voting.
This is Stasny with a clarification.
Yes.
I believe that it is STV where duplicate rankings are allowed, which is a peculiar failing of Pacifica, that may be the thing that is new to ESC.
Mm-hmm, right.
They may or may not, according to my knowledge, have done STV before. They probably have. But it is quite clear they have never before done STV with the complication of allowing duplicate rankings, which were allowed for Pacifica by the previous software vendor.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be where the confusion lies.
I think you're right,
Art.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
I'm remembering now.
Are there any other questions or comments on this?
Richard? I remember discussing with him. I'm sure that I think they already have some STV software. It's not like they're going to have to make everything. That was pretty clear to me that they have the ability to do it already.
Mm-hmm.
And the discussion was whether we use their software or we're going to use the Choice Plus or Choice Plus Lite or something. I remember that was discussed.
Right.
Yeah, Harrison's point is well taken. I do think, though, that is one of the issues that would go into the negotiation. And there might be a short list of things to look at, but that might be one of them.
Don White here?
Yes, Don.
Yeah, I'm really prepared to vote yes on this proposal, but during this conversation, a lot of very pertinent caveats have come up. So my question, I guess, to others is, we can vote to recommend this company to the board and to Greg Gumma, but will it take amendments, or how do we incorporate into this proposal the issue of a vigorous negotiation, the opt-out date, and other things? Will that take amendments, or can we just reach consensus that in proposing this, we have these concerns that we would like to move along with the proposal?
LaVarne, back at I think absolutely what you're saying is basic, is what we need to do, because in anything that we do, all of us have opinions and all of us see some issue that perhaps needs to be addressed. So in terms of recommending, and these are the areas that we believe need to be negotiated very vigorously.
Mm-hmm.
And they are enlisting those. I think in terms of, and that would show that, the work that we've done, and I think that Art and Jack, who've spent a lot of time working, talking, and getting information from ESC on the technical aspects of the voting. I think that those, any issues I think that they may have, but I think a lot of those were satisfied by the numerous meetings that we had. But absolutely, I would recommend that. So shall we go to the list, or how
that's a good
that?
Idea,
yeah.
Lavarne, yes. Who would like to lead off the items? I like the phrasing, to be negotiated vigorously, unless
I
want to improve of that. Terry?
Yeah, I'd like to ask that the motion as stated by Richard Phelps be repeated so that those considering amendment can better phrase their amendment.
Mm-hmm. Richard?
You want me to repeat something I said an hour ago?
Or the secretary?
Well, you didn't say that much, Richard.
I know, but I
you just recommended that we hire ESC. That's all you said.
That's basically all I said,
that
we recommend hiring them. I mean, people can change it however they want if they want to put in some other stuff.
Close enough.
At least that's what I wrote.
All right. The simple motion is to recommend that we hire ESC, and that, someone want to complete that, Terry?
Defer to Harrison, who had a couple of amendments initially.
You did.
Oh, well, yeah, I think some people improved on my thinking on that score, but can we go so far as to say that we don't like the opt-out date, and that should be moved to after the conclusion of the election, that the amount of money up front should be negotiated vigorously, and perhaps we should be careful about paying for development costs of proprietary software.
Those are three.
I would like to, a point of clarification here, I would like to ask Art and Jack, do you think that is a real possibility that we would be paying for the development of proprietary software in this in this operation? Art, Jack, do you have an opinion on that?
Well, this is Art. We certainly would be paying for them to figure out how to deal with duplicate rankings, because they haven't done that before, and they have agreed to do it under special considerations in their proposal.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do it before, they agree to do it, hence they have to write the software to do it. But the next question is that 3 hours or 30 hours of work? I don't think it's an enormous job. On the other hand, it is something we might try to negotiate ownership or co-ownership of that specialized software. I'm not quite sure. This is somewhat out of a technical area into more a contractual area. But it's certainly there is some development and some coding that they will need to do on that specific area, because quite clearly they have not done it before, and under special considerations, as I said, they have promised to do it. End of comment.
All right, thank you. So I have three things here, if I may.
What is the information?
Don White here.
Yes, Don. Yes, Serene, point of information?
I think Serene wants to be on the make a comment, and so do I.
I was just calling on her. Point of information,
that
Serene.
I thought she couldn't hear me.
Serene, do you have a point of information?
Yeah, you know, I'm concerned about this because I know that on our call last Sunday, not only did we agree to not have a meeting because we were assured that there was no way that this was going to be ready in time, we were also assured that we would have at least a week to look at it. The ESC proposal is a 16-page proposal, and its format is, for me, and I'm not a techie, sufficiently different from the one from True Ballot, that, you know, it really takes some doing to sit down and compare what it is they say they're offering and at what cost. So I think, and I expressed this in email, I'll repeat it now, that I think that actually it was improper of you to call this meeting. We specifically agreed we would not have a meeting before next month. And there were some changes that were based on well, I don't want to use the term coaching, but some sort of feedback between the tech team and the people providing the proposal. And I would hope that this sort of coaching or exchange of information happened with both companies, because that would, you know, would be the fair thing to do, the same way that, you know, Election Services was contacted and questioned and then corrected their proposal in a way that has not yet been identified for those of us who might have actually read the original 16-page report and are now trying to figure out what has changed in the interim. I would hope that the same courtesy would have been afforded to the other company as well. Otherwise, you know, that's not exactly a level playing field.